Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how's it rolling?
It's rolling well. I forgot what it's like to do two podcasts in a week. I don't know how Rob does like 30. So it's like heavy lifting, doing more than one show in a week.
Yeah, your other podcast came back very, very secretly.
Back from the dead, yeah.
You uploaded another episode to a feed that I would assume most people had unsubscribed from like a year ago.
I think a lot of people probably don't unsubscribe. Like when podcasts end, and I've subscribed to a lot of podcasts that end, I don't unsubscribe because I figure like if it comes back one day, then I'll have it. And if it doesn't, like it's taking up zero room, you know, it's not wasting anything. But I could see you like deleting things this... Like, if somebody dies and you follow them on Twitter, you unfollow them that second.
Yeah, listen, if you fall into a coma with me, I'm deleting you as a Facebook friend, so, you know. It feels like that's a very early Seinfeld episode would...
Yeah, what's your problem? What were you saying your problem is?
Just because... So I remove a podcast when the season's over, and then I'll often forget to bring it back a year later. Like, if it's not in my orbit...
What kind of season? Not all podcasts have seasons?
But a lot of my podcasts are seasonal, right? Like, they come up with a season, and then they're gone.
Oh, like a Game of Thrones podcast that isn't talking about
anything. No, like Katrina Longworth, You Must Remember This, or Malcolm Gladwell, or Serial...
Karina Longworth. Whatever.
Like, a lot of podcasts, it's like a season. It's like a TV show. They come up with one once a week for 10 weeks, 12 weeks, and they're gone for a year.
Yeah.
And I'll forget to add them back... and so unless they're otherwise in my orbit because, you know, they're guests on other podcasts or things that I follow, I can sort of lose track of them. So, yeah. But, you know, at the end of the day, if it's a podcast, if I don't know what I'm missing, then I'm not missing anything. So
true. Right. Sometimes, like, people, you know, a podcast will go away. I'm like, oh, I forgot that existed. But I also haven't seen it in my feed in, like, years. I haven't heard one person talk about it. How much could I be missing? Yeah. Like, if it was incredible, it would get to me.
Can I ask you a question to change the subject about an awkward social interaction?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so, you know, we're a very woke podcast, so we're obviously anti-manspreading, is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we're anti-manspreading, but I feel like I probably manspread it time or two.
Oh, for sure I have. I mean, a friend of mine, Josh Berliner, used to endlessly comment in high school. So in high school, of course, I lived in a dorm, and in the basement of that dorm, we had like this like horrible room with a TV and a closet, which would be locked half the time, and then these two little like love seats in front of that TV. So Berliner always used to comment about the fact that I would like occupy like an entire couch. I mean, a couch.
Yeah, my kids complain that I like take the good couch by myself lying down sometimes.
Yeah, who's paying for that couch? And that's like, what that's I say to the kids.
Yeah, who paid for that couch? And then also... like that's what the dad did. Like I wouldn't even get to like tell my dad like, hey, why are you lying down on the couch? These kids could be like, they could lodge a formal complaint with my wife.
My dad's actually a floor liar. Like my dad would get home from work every day. Like I remember as a kid, and then he would like go to the den, take a pillow, prop it up against the side of the couch, and then lie on the floor and read the newspaper.
Sounds normal. I mean, like would he scream Serenity now? Like what was he doing on the floor?
No, I would do that also. Like when I played video games, I would never sit on the couch. It's too far away. You want to be closer to the screen. I'd sit on the floor when I'm playing my Nintendo or my Sega or my PlayStation. So anyway, so like manspreading, now it's a problem because, you know, I live in the suburbs. I take a bus to work every day. It's like a coach bus, you know, where you sit like, you know, all the seats facing forward and, you know, like two by two. And it's always full, often standing room only. So you're always going to have a stranger next to you. And inevitably, the person who I'm sitting next to is a man whose legs are like far enough apart that he could fit like a football, like the long way without touching either knee. And it's really obnoxious. So it creates a circumstance where I have like three options and all of them are bad. Either I say nothing, I'm incredibly uncomfortable the whole time, right? Or I say nothing and I sort of try and like, you know, passive aggressively reclaim my space, which means our legs are rubbing together, which also not ideal. Or I have to have this awkward conversation with somebody that I don't want to have an awkward conversation with, and then I'm stuck sitting next to them.
Would rather jump out the bus.
Yeah, and then I'm stuck especially next to them for 45 minutes. So what do I do?
True. Try and sit next to like the smallest person on the
bus. Well, the problem is that I'm usually like they're coming and sitting next to me.
Your first one on?
I'm not the first one on, but I'm at the state. Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean, so today.
All right, so don't shower, and then just like no one will sit next to you.
The thing is, people will anyway. Look, it's always one of those circumstances where you try and make yourself, and I'm sure you've been in this scenario, you try and make yourself as unappealing as possible, as people are boarding to hope no one's going to sit next to you. But in this circumstance, it's actually not beneficial because ultimately, every seat's going to be taken. So by doing that, all I do is ensure that I get the last person.
You're getting the random person.
Yeah, you'd almost rather be as attractive as possible and hope I can attract, like, you know, the petite 25-year-old attractive woman who's, you know.
True. Yeah, you probably, that's true. You probably
strategically.
Wanna, like,
yeah, it's like, you'd rather guarantee yourself a decent seatmate than
Yeah, someone making the choice of sitting next to you rather than just...
Like, you go with the opposite spot in the hope that maybe you'll get an empty seat, but yeah, it depends. You got to calculate what the odds are to do the cost-benefit analysis. But so today, this guy's sitting next to me. He gets in. I'm in the window. He gets in. Or I'm in the aisle, excuse me, because I got to put my leg in the aisle because I busted my knee at the moment. And he gets in, and he's like, his legs are all the way apart. Like, he has, like, a backpack, which is in between his legs, which he could put above, he could put below. And so I really didn't want to say anything, but it was like really uncomfortable. He was also, you know, not a svelte man. So I said something to him, and he said, "Well, why don't you do the same?" So I said, "Well, my knees are literally touching each other." Like, I'm. He's like, "Well, then you focus on your knees. I'll focus on my knees." It was exactly what I knew what was gonna happen.
Oh boy, yeah, I just got like it's like cringy. Just
yeah, but it was a lose lose. So I was uncomfortable physically and you know socially. So disaster.
Oh boy, yeah.
Don't move to a suburban New Jersey.
I would never. I mean, and I'm not even allowed to. I was thinking about moving in with you, and then
But you take buses all the time, right?
Yeah. First of all, you know what? You know what's a big.
But you
thing
take
also?
A like, you I take have, a city bus more, right? So it's not. This
if
kind
I
of
take
seating.
A knapsack, if you have a knapsack on your lap, it's. I think like people are less likely to sit next to you. Also, it's like, oh, he's got this giant knapsack.
Yeah.
So I do think that helps people not sit next to me. I do. It's rarely like a small woman sitting next to me. It's usually like the last guy who comes across. Yeah. And that's never like an old lady. It's always it's always like a big dude. Yeah. Anyway, so I mentioned this on the podcast last year, but basically my daughter is in gymnastics several times a week. It's very serious. And she... Last year at the year-end championships, which happened in July, she won only one bronze medal. And on the balance beam, out of four finalists, she did not get a medal, even though, like, objectively, she had the best routine. And, like, I didn't think she deserved medals on the other things. It's not like I think she should have won all seven. She's better. I think even the bronze medal she got was probably a pity medal. But clearly on the balance beam, like, maybe you could make an argument for silver, but... There's no way you could make an argument that she should have won anything less than silver, and for sure she should have won gold. So I said last year when we came home and she was upset, she was eight, she's nine now, I said, next year we're going to pull like the old Michael Johnson track move where I'm going to get you gold shoes, and when you walk in before the competition, you're going to say like to the coach, like, hey, I'm here to win the gold. Like a very like arrogant move, but I think like, that'll stick with them.
Wait, you literally bought her gold shoes?
I said I would, but I'm cheap, and she said, okay, they're like $60, and I don't wear them during the competition because you're shoeless during the competition. I'm like, we don't actually need the gold shoes. She wanted me to take her to the mall. I'm also lazy. I'm like, I'm not taking her to the mall to buy these gold shoes. So I didn't. I would have if you wore the shoes. I forgot you don't actually wear shoes, so it would have been silly. He wouldn't have appreciated it. It probably would have hurt her chances. And it wouldn't have been on merit. Either would have been mad and like not given her anything, or he would have like, okay, fine, I'll give it to you. So there are five girls in the finals of the balance beam. Two of them are a little younger and are like not up to snuff yet, and they don't really do routines. The girl who was overall like beat all the boys, came in first in the whole overall thing, didn't do so well. And then the third best girl, assuming my daughter was like rated number two out of five, fell. So my daughter gets on last. Her routine is like so dangerous that they put on a, it's not even a real balance beam. It's like basically a bench, and they put on a mat because they were nervous about her routine. So just for her, it's like for safety purposes because her degree of difficulty was harder. But she hits the flip. She does like a flip on the beam, which nobody else hits, and she has a good routine. Like you could even hear like a pop from the crowd when she hits. It was basically the only one of the whole night.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. Silent. Is there a video evidence of this?
Yeah. Yes, I have it. My wife took videos, and we'll post it in the Facebook group. Okay. We'll post her routine in the Facebook group. And anyway, she nails it. Obvious gold. She's the number one girl, the girl who's going to win the overall trophy for the entire, like, you know, the whole shebang tells her that she won the gold. And she had told her before, and like, hey, if you hit, you're going to beat me. Like, you have the best routine. The end, they start giving out the medals, all the vaults and the floor exercise stuff. She gets 2 silver, 3 bronze medal in all 5 events. And then it's the last one before the overall, which I don't think she's expecting because that's boys and girls. And she's like the youngest person there also. She's competing against like 13-year-olds. She's 9. So they give out the bronze medal for the balance beam to like some girl who like is just getting a pity medal, I guess. And then the silver medal they give to the girl who fell. And now I'm confused because there's no, like this girl who's won gold at every other event, like the main girl. I don't even remember her name, or I would say her real name. But so I'm like, oh, like I can't believe they're not going to give the main girl anything. And then they announce the gold, and it's the main girl. My daughter did not get even 3rd out of 5 when she like did the only routine out of the 5. So I like start booing. It's like dead silent, like a lunatic. And my wife is just like in shock. And all of our siblings were, and no one was around. Last year we had like a 20-person cheering section. This time it was only like my wife's one friend came, and like she was like mouth agape, stunned. Like it wasn't just us. Like nobody could believe that she didn't win. And then she doesn't get 1 of the 3 overall, which we weren't concerned with. And then so afterwards, like my daughter runs out of the gym like hysterical, and won't like come back in to get her stuff and her medals, and you know she's clanking around with 6 medals. She just didn't get the one she cared about. And so we start yelling at the gymnastics coach. I'm yelling. My wife. See, I said, like, if you asked all 100 people in the room who won the balance beam, all 100, including like the girl who won's parents.
Well, not all 100 because not the judge, obviously.
So the judge is his wife. He's not the judge. The judge is his wife and a second person who is maybe a coach.
Wait,
whose wife?
Whose wife?
The main guy's wife. He brings her in. It's not like professional judges. He brings her into the guy who runs the whole thing. He doesn't want to judge, so he brings in his wife and a second person to judge. Last year, if you were a real eagle-eared listener, will remember the girl who won last year and this year's sister was a judge. But that was not the case this year. Her sister was not the judge. This girl's like aging out. The girl who beat my daughter is aging out to become like her coach next year, and so we're yelling. My wife is pretty scary, and so he says, like, okay, we're going to watch the tape. Now, at this point, almost everyone's gone, besides, like, the staff cleaning up the gym. And he makes his wife and the guy watch the tape. And he had also said, like, well, she fell. We're like, what are you talking about? She didn't fall. Maybe he wasn't paying attention. What we thought happened was that they really wanted this girl who's aging out to win the overall over the best boy. And the only way she could do that is if she won all the girls' competitions because the boy won the boys. So they had to like skew the statistics a little bit. That's what my daughter thought, which is fine. I don't care if she wins, but it didn't make so maybe they booted my daughter like out of the whole thing and just flipped this, you know, for this girl from 2 to 1 and my daughter from 1 to 4. So the other girls would have at least have a medal or something. So they literally my daughter is hysterical in the parking lot. We're also like have a bar mitzvah that we're like 2 hours late to at this point because it's after the competition. It's late at night and he's watching tape of all the performances again. My daughter, I'm like chasing. I couldn't even find her. She's in the parking lot crying. And he brings her in. She and he says like, you're right. It was a big mistake. Obviously she could not have lost realistically to the other 3 girls. Like you could at least make a case for the girl who won, but like the worst case, she should have gotten 2nd. But I said, like, she spent 11 months preparing this one routine, like, and she's been in your thing for, like, 5 or 6 years. Like, what do you think this does, that she spends the whole year preparing and, like, someone's not paying attention and then she loses, right? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like, we're paying a lot of money for this also. Like, this has to be a better run operation. So he gives her 2nd place. He also, like, says that affects the overall scores, that she wouldn't have been 4th overall. She would have been 2nd. So, like, in the big ceremony, she would have...
Now, hold on. Are they retracting the medals from the others, or they're just going to give a 2nd?
Of course
not.
Of course not. They're, like, 10-year-old kids. They're not going to take away... Yeah. But she knows this is pity. Now, he's admitting that, like, it was silly. Like, there's no case you could make for the girl that fell off the beam and did nothing to beat my daughter. But he doesn't give her 1st. She knows it's a pity thing. She also gets a trophy, which she had never gotten before. Trophy's only for the overall. So she gets 2nd overall. But again, everyone had left. It wasn't like in front of the whole audience. It was also silly because he had the best at every discipline doing a show in the city the next day. And she had been chosen weeks earlier to do the balance beam. So like he knew she was the best at the balance. It didn't make any sense. Right. Like the whole thing did not add up at all. I don't know if it was incompetence. I don't know if it was like they were just trying to fudge the scoring. I have no idea, like, why he claims he likes her. I don't know. I think maybe he doesn't like her. Anyway, so it was very upsetting. I became, like, that kind of dad. Me and my wife yelling at the guy. My daughter, like, crying in the corner. I guess if you yell loud enough, you get participation trophies. But you know how they complain about millennials and participation trophies?
Yeah.
My wife's mom, because my son was mad he didn't get a trophy. Now, why would he get a trophy? He's not in any after-school activities because he's 4. So she said she would buy him a trophy. So I said, like, people complain about participation trophies. Like, you're giving my son a trophy. He didn't even participate. He's just getting a trophy for, like, being in the same family as someone who got a trophy. Right? This is like the ultimate in spoiled, but nobody listens to me. What am I going to be, like, the guy who takes away the trophy from a 4-year-old who's already been promised that he's going to get a trophy? And my kids won bowling a few weeks ago. They went to the bowling alley. There was a tournament. They won the tournament. So they all have these giant trophies taking up insane amounts of room in my house for no reason. So they already have trophies. Anyway, don't have kids.
All right. This has been Israeli regional youth gymnastics update.
Yes. All right. So, what do you want to do first? Do you want to we're going to talk the 32 quarterback ranking. We did. Zach Brooks was nice enough to tweet at Sean Fahey, who had the awful quarterback rankings last week, and say, "Hey, come on, 32 fans." I swooped in and said, "Yeah, come on." Like 12 listeners liked the tweet. He did not respond. I didn't know who he was. He had apparently been a big wig at ESPN who got fired for inappropriate behavior in a bar, I think he said.
Well, I mean, I know the inappropriate behavior. He's an idiot when it comes to ranking quarterbacks. You should get fired for that.
He said he treated Americans as if they were Irish people. Weird excuse. He probably said some bad words in the bar or something. I don't know. So, but I never heard of him. He used to be on Lebatard's show. I thought you listened to that. Anyway, he doesn't respond. But we'll do our list. But before we do that, there was an even more controversial list out there on the internet this week, and that's the Ringer's 100 Greatest TV Episodes of All Time. The internet is ablaze today with best of the century, right? Best since 2000,
yeah,
not
just
best
since
of all
2000,
time.
Yeah.
So now, and it's a really good looking list. They did, like, in terms of like,
yeah,
art.
Rob Cesternino dropped the link in our Facebook group yesterday. And as you said, it's nice. As you scroll through, it automatically starts playing like a 10-second clip of each episode. So that's pretty good.
Very well done. This was not like hashed together in 2 seconds. They have a lot
of
the
production.
Side notes,
the production value is well done, you're saying.
Yeah, listen. The list is going to be controversial, but the production value is fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, number one all time was Lost. The problem is there's only one show per. There's only one episode per show, so you can't have like 5 Breaking Bad, 4 Sopranos, which makes sense because otherwise the list would be the 10 prestige shows. So I actually
and also I think you have to be the order doesn't really matter. The order is random. You can tell pretty clearly.
No, I totally disagree. The prestige shows are all top 10. The Wire, The Sopranos, like all the main shows are in the top 8. So it's, the list is clear, like, and number 98 is like Family Feud or Price is Right. So
but they have things like that in the top 10 also. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, they do not. They do not. The only thing in the top 10 that's not an absolute iconic show is the pilot of the OC. Everything else is an...
Survivor's number 7 overall. Listen, I know you
okay,
love Survivor.
So now, listen. That was basically like the most watched TV episode of all of these 17.
Grey's Anatomy hold on. Grey's Anatomy is in the top 10. What are you talking about?
Well, people said that shouldn't even be in the episode. No, these are you seriously arguing that the list which ends with Game of Thrones, Mad
Jersey
Men, and Lost
Shore
is
number 14, okay? And they have prestige shows in the 80s, okay? Come on. It's completely random. The
Ozymandias, which I think a lot of people
Oprah Winfrey is okay. Oprah Winfrey is number 17. Okay, again, Jersey Shore is
that's
number
the
14.
Tom Cruise episode, the Two Cathedrals episode of The West Wing that people think is an all timer.
Okay, hold on. Like, so Vanderpump Rules.
Everything you're saying is wrong.
So in your opinion, Vanderpump Rules is objectively a better show than 30 Rock, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Nathan For You.
No, they're just mixing stuff up. I don't.
That's what I'm saying. It's a totally random list.
I don't think
Vanderpump
Rules
should
be the top 100. You're saying there's no order. The fact that like the top
5
shows ever are all in the top 10 is
not literally no order. The top 3 or 4, fine. But what I'm saying is, if you're going to start arguing this one was 24 and it should have been 75, that's stupid. That's not the relevant.
Oh, yeah. No, well, that would be insane.
Okay, I thought that's what you were arguing. Okay, what I'm saying is the 1 to 100 is not particularly of any relevant order, other than a couple at the top, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they do have a decent amount of reality TV. Like you said, Vanderpump, they have The Challenge with Johnny Bananas.
They have, like, every show. Yeah, but they don't have, which shocked me, they don't have Billions, which is Bill Simmons' favorite show, and, like, you know, The
Ringer's. I think they probably did that because they were afraid of the backlash. That's probably
the backlash? What do you mean, what backlash? Look at the list of shows. Like, they have comical shows up and down this list.
They did a pretty good job, honestly. I thought the list would be much worse. Like, there's a little bit of recency bias, like an Anthony Bourdain show that wouldn't have been in the top 100
if he didn't die. Yeah.
Yeah, like, is there? But, like, that's fine.
There was no Fargo. I thought that was a big missing. They didn't have
what, review. Like, there was no review episode, which I know wasn't such a popular show.
They didn't have Ollie G, which sort of surprised me, especially, you know, he's a little bit back.
Yeah,
in the
it's
right
very
now.
Early in the century, and that, I mean, the show started, I think, maybe even in the 1990s.
No, 2004. It came out to America in 2004.
In America, but I think in England it probably starts in about 99, right?
Yeah, but the relevant show, the American version, like The Office.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't disagree.
They didn't have Broad City. That was a little bit surprising to me.
They don't have Broad City? I didn't even realize they don't have Broad City. Yeah, Veep is pretty high.
Yeah. They don't have Boardwalk Empire, which is a show only I love. They don't have Bored to Death. They don't have The Life and Times of Tim. Talk about HBO shows that I love.
No, but that show nobody cared about but you. They have Finding Francis from Nathan For You. Like, that should definitely be in there.
Yeah.
They have the thing is, the more interesting conversation would be like, what episode? Like, It's Always Sunny has dozens of iconic episodes. They put in like Charlie McDennis. Lost number one, they have The Constant. Now, a lot of people would say that's not even the best episode of Lost. You know, I actually thought they would go with the pilot. Obviously, you can only go with so many pilots, you know, before you're just including the, you know, pilot usually spend more money. It's sort of a better thought out thing. I don't know. You watched Lost,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, honestly, I don't have that much to say about this. If I was really going to do like an intensive deep dive, I could come up with, you know, some objective rankings or opinions.
Yeah, no, and I didn't really.
I sort of scrolled through it.
I didn't. Yeah,
it was well put together. Listen, anytime you mention The Ringer and it's not in a critical way, you know, it's exciting for them.
It's true. So. Yeah, no, they did a good job. Anyway, that list is worth checking out. Now let's go to a list that probably won't be worth checking out. That's our 32 quarterback rankings. I figured we do them now. And then we can update the game mid-season and see how wrong we have. And if you have, like, our last rankings from 20, I think we didn't formally do quarterback rankings in 2017, you said, but we did it twice in 2016.
Yeah, in 2016 we did it in the preseason, and then we did it in November, like, after week 8 or so.
We had to do quarterback rankings last year at some point. I just don't remember when.
Well,
I think we did them, like, right before the season.
Oh, you know what? Because I only looked at documents on my computer. I didn't look in Google Docs, and I bet you're right. I bet it's in Google Docs.
There's no way we skip quarterback rings for a whole season. I just don't know if we did a mid-season or in-season. Anyway, you ranked rookies. I did not rank the rookies because what am I ranking them on? There's no performance from them. So you have 40 people in your rankings. I have 32. I did not rank Jacoby Brissett because I don't think he's going to start opening day. I did not rank.
So I didn't rank the 32 starting quarterbacks. I ranked the top 40 quarterbacks,
yeah, so
whether they're starters or backups.
I ranked the 32 starting quarterbacks minus maybe the one, you know, the Darnold or Mayfields who are probably going to start or possibly going to start, because it doesn't look like Allen's going to start at all. He's behind Nathan Peterman and McCarron, and I don't know how you'd ever catch up to Nathan Peterman. I can't imagine that Bradford is going to lose the job to Rosen. And Lamar Jackson, I don't think, will get the job from Flacco. So I think it's – if I had to bet now, correct me if I'm wrong, it's possible only Darnold starts opening day. Some combination of Darnold and Baker.
Yeah, it's possible.
And even those guys have tough like, Tyrod isn't the greatest quarterback in the world, but he's a tough guy to beat out, doesn't make a lot of mistakes, tough guy to beat out in practice. Same thing with Josh McCown, very experienced player. There is a slight chance that there are no rookie quarterbacks. I mean, but injuries will probably force their hand into being. So anyway, so I only have the 32. You had Brissett, who I didn't rank. You also ranked, who are the other two people you ranked that I did not rank?
I have 40, and you have like 28, you said. So we have several.
No, I have 32. I have one per team. I don't have the five rookies, okay. And I didn't rank Brissett, and I didn't rank.
So even when the rookies are probably going to start, you have their backup only.
Yeah, because I don't know how to rank them. I don't know how to rank Sam Darnold. Like, ideally, he's number one. Ideally, he's already better than Tom Brady. But realistically, he's probably worse than Eli. Okay, so give me your 40. Countdown from 40 to 33 for me, because I don't have equivalents there.
Okay, so let me just quickly run through, I guess, where. So I said as I ranked the top 40 quarterbacks, so let me quickly rank the eight guys that I'm going to exclude now because I've decided to align it with you, so I only have the 32 starters in week one for each team. So not on the list, Teddy Bridgewater. Supposedly he's looking good in Jets training camp, but I have no idea if he's alive. I have no idea if he can ever play quarterback again.
Yeah, they claim his knee is fine. But
yeah, so he, again, if that's true, he wouldn't be a third stringer for the Jets. So, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, in theory, if he was healthy, could be on this list, but he's not for now. Number 40, I have Lamar Jackson. Too soon for him. I do like him, and I think he may have more upside than any other of the rookies, but, you know, he's not ready yet. Yeah. Number 39, I have Jacoby Brissett.
Needs to sit this year.
Brissett was passably bad for the Colts, but, you know, look, his QBR...
I heard a guy who said he's, like, one of the best.
Yeah. His QBR plus last year was 92.6, which means he was about, you know, 7.5% below the average NFL quarterback, which is one of the worst starting quarterbacks, but is fine for a backup. The year before, in much more limited play, he was 92.4, exactly the same. So, you know, he's a decent backup, and if he's starting, your team is not winning more than four games. Number 38, I have Josh Allen. He is my least preferred of all the first-round rookies. You know, for the reasons we discussed at the draft.
No, he's already hitting guys on the sidelines. He's Osweiler.
Yeah, exactly. Number 37, I have Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I didn't rank Brissett, Fitzpatrick, or a guy you're going to
get to. Well, listen, Fitzpatrick is the starting quarterback for at least the first 3 weeks for Tampa. And
And
he has been an above average starting quarterback. He was last year in limited time for Tampa. He was actually better than the guy than Jameis. And he was in 2015, of course, for your Jets. He had a great season. He was atrocious in limited play in 2016, and he's also 38 years old. And by the way, interesting fact, did you know he went to Harvard? So he's at number 37. Number 36, I'll skip because he's a starter. Number 35, I have Nick Foles. Nick Foles was absolute human garbage in the last 4 weeks of the regular season and in the first week of the playoffs, and then he had two amazing games in a row.
It's an insane take.
Yeah.
I guess it's someone who didn't watch the Eagles fight.
No, I said, and then he was amazing for two games. But, you know, it's hard. Do we draw conclusions?
This is a one-year ranking. You did it as a one-year ranking also, right?
I'm doing it based on today, at this exact moment.
Yeah, today. If you had to win a game tomorrow.
Yeah. I would. So there's 34.
If you were to win tomorrow, you'd rather Eli Manning than Nick Foles.
That's not a question. And I am not an Eli lover.
That's stupid. Yeah, you're the most famous.
That's
Eli
stupid.
On the planet.
Anybody who says Nick Foles is a moron. I'm sorry. Nick Foles was so bad that.
By the way, when
Carson Wentz went down, people said the Eagles season was over, including all the Eagles fans I know. And then he looked worse against the Raiders. He looked worse. And then he looked abysmally awful. He looked atrocious. Again, his CQBR in the regular season was 80.
Do yourself a favor. Rewatch the Eagles-Vikings game and then the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl.
Once again, his most final two games were amazing, okay? Rewatch the Eli Manning in the playoffs or Joe Flacco in the playoffs. Like, a lot of guys have had good games here or there. Over the body of work over the last several seasons, Nick Foles has been an atrocious quarterback. The last two times we saw him, he was very good. He figured it out. Okay, fine. All right, number 34, I have Josh McCown, who, you know, basically put in last year what Fitzpatrick did a couple years before. He was above average. He was not the Jets' problem, but I don't think he'll keep the job.
Kind of fell apart a little bit down the stretch, got crushed by good defenses. I have McCown at 28.
Yeah, number 31, so you have McCown, you don't have Darnold.
Yeah, I didn't pick it. I didn't do the five rookies, and I didn't do Brissett, Fitzpatrick.
Okay, I thought you were doing who's expected to start for every team.
No, so. I am, unless they're a rookie.
Okay.
In which case, I had their most.
All right, whatever. Okay.
I didn't do Brissett, Fitzpatrick.
Number 31, skipping a couple of starters, I have Josh Rosen. You know, as I said, I'm highest on him just about of most people. And because Bradford is injury prone, of course, we'll see him sooner rather than later. And he's got some weapons, so we'll see what he does. And then
tough to beat Bradford in camp, I think, also.
And then number 29, I have Baker Mayfield. I have him ahead of four guys who are already starters. I do have him behind Tyrod, who I'm a fan of. But I think he'll be starting sooner rather than later. And look, I was a little bit skeptical of him, but I've put him number one among the rookies simply because, you know, I have to assume there's a reason he went number one overall. So I'll give the Browns the slightest benefit of the doubt for now.
Yeah, Browns have never made a mistake before.
Yeah, exactly. So now the 32 starting quarterbacks. So the worst starting quarterback as of right now, things could change, as of right now, number 36 overall, because he's behind four backups, is Mitchell Trubisky.
Okay.
Now, who do you have dead last?
I have A.J. McCarron dead last.
Okay. So
I just think he's a zero upside guy.
Okay. I have McCarron one spot ahead of Trubisky, so you know I'm not going to disagree tremendously here. Yeah. McCarron, if we want to talk about in limited play, when we saw him in 2015, when Andy Dalton was putting together that MVP season and got injured, he looked pretty good. He was above average. His CQBR plus is 103, which is decent. Was better than average by definition. 100 is average. He looked good in that playoff game against Pittsburgh, where they found a way to lose, of course, in dramatic fashion on that Saturday night. We don't know anything about AJ McCarron, so that's fine. But what we do know about Mitchell Trubisky is bad. He looked really bad as a rookie. To be fair, we said the same thing about Jared Goff a year before. And Trubisky looked less bad than Jared Goff. Jared Goff, in his rookie season, was one of the worst rookies. Like, it was Ryan Leaf-esque. I mean, to give you an idea, Jared Goff's CQBR plus in his rookie season was 62. No one else we're discussing today has ever had a season below, like, 80. I mean, 62 is insanely bad.
What do you think AJ McCarron's absolute ceiling is? Like, give me another quarterback.
I mean, a Joe Flacco, Eli Manning.
Could it be Sam Bradford when he's healthy?
Yeah, a slightly above average quarterback who, in individual games, can look like a Pro Bowler. I mean, why not?
Now,
it's not
I do think he plays 16 games this year, basically, or 14 games if he's healthy.
So you don't think Josh Allen is getting on the field?
Allen, he's got there's no player in the sport who's got less competition in a position.
Well, I don't really know. I mean, I don't know what Buffalo's doing, right? I don't know what they traded for McCarron, then they drafted Allen, so I don't know what their plan is. So we'll see. But all right, so I have Trubisky right below McCarron. Do you have Trubisky right above McCarron?
Yes, okay. I have Trubisky.
Okay, so 31 and 32.
I actually
are the
have
same.
Him oh. just because of the Goff bump, where like maybe there's something there. And I did watch all the plays that Sean Fahey posted, by the way, like his whole thread.
Yeah.
I just think there's two quarterbacks who are basically unsalvageable, and they've both won Super Bowls that I have at 30 and 31.
Okay. So who's 30 and 31?
Looking at all their advanced stuff.
Eli and Flacco?
30 and Eli at 30. I have Eli at 31.
Okay. Eli at 31. Okay. So I have been long known as the Eli hater, but you think that Eli is, of the 32 starting quarterbacks, the only one worse than in the entire NFL is the guy on Buffalo who's never started before.
I think he has the lowest upside. I think if my goal was to win a game tomorrow, I would never pick him. Okay. One, like, just generally going to get worse with age. Two, literally got benched for Geno Smith last year. He's not good.
Look, far be it for me to be the Eli defender.
Yeah. Yeah, but, no, you defend Eli.
Yeah, that's what okay. I look, I named year, my third son after him.
Yes, completion percentage lowest in 4 years. 23 interceptions plus fumbles last year. That's insane.
Okay,
a career
good.
Low minus his aborted rookie season.
Now, to be fair, he didn't have Odell last year. Yeah. He's added this year. He's added a top three receiver, a top five running back, another receiver. He's added a lot of weapons.
And a really good tight end.
Now, that doesn't make him better as a player, but it's going to make his numbers look
better. No, it doesn't make him better. Yeah, no, his numbers will definitely be better. Yeah. But they fell off a cliff last year.
Yeah, they did. Can I give you his three-year trend of his CQBR plus?
Yes.
In 2015, it was 103, so 3% above average, which is about peak
Eli
Manning.
And you're saying 100 is average.
Yeah. In 2016, 97, so 3% below average, a drop of 6 points, not ideal. Mm-hmm. And last year, 90, which was the only player, again, who was worse than 90 was Mitchell Trubisky, among guys who were full-time starters. Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, that really, meshes with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, of course, there's a chance that Eli has, like, oh my God, Eli's back, 28 touchdown, 14 interception season. But if he does, I'll just, that means Saquon Barkley is rookie of the year and, like, MVP candidate.
All right, so you have Eli at 31. I have him at 26, and I have him ahead of four guys. I have him ahead of Flacco, who I have at 30, and you also have at 30, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard much about Lamar Jackson yet, but
Flacco's had one above average season in his entire career, and it was many years ago. So I don't know what we're doing with him.
Flacco's really not young. He's 33.
Yeah.
Okay, so last season, completion percentage still there. 18 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. His average yards
which is really bad in today's NFL.
Yeah. His average yards per attempt was 5.72.
That's also really
bad.
And he's supposed to be a guy who throws the ball down the field.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a guy throw down the field. They didn't do that. Now, again, one thing that you have in common with Manning, Trubisky, and Flacco is, like, historically bad receivers once Eli lost his entire team last year. Like, they had no NFL receivers, all three of those guys, basically. Especially the other two. Flacco had probably better options once Eli's went down than the other guys. Is it possible that Flacco turns it around and looks a little bit more like, I don't know, 2015 Joe Flacco, which wasn't so good? Yeah, I guess. But I just think you know what you're. I just think in terms of upside, you know what you're getting. Like there's no real room for improvement with Joe Flacco.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, so let's. Can we talk about the next couple guys on my list?
Yeah. So I had McCown at 28. Where you already said McCown.
Oh. Okay. Because I have. So I have Darnold at 28. Fine.
Yeah. I mean, man, I hope if Darnold could beat McCown at, straight out of training camp, like in an actual race, not just like management anointing him, that would make me happy. Like, if you're better on day 20 than Josh McCown, that's pretty good. That's a really good sign. People underrate, I think, training camp. The preseason stats don't matter, but how guys look day in and day out in training camp, I think people do underrate.
I think it's sort of, it's one of those things where a guy can look really bad, but a guy can't, and that means something. But if a guy looks really good, that doesn't necessarily mean anything.
I agree. If you look, yeah. If you can't dominate training camp, you can't dominate in the league. You can look amazing in training camp and, you know, receivers, like, oh, he's blowing by the corner and, like, do nothing.
Yeah.
But if you're bad in training, it's the same thing with summer league in the NBA. Summer league doesn't mean anything if you're good, right? But if you can't dominate summer league, you are not ready for the NBA.
Yeah.
The guys who are putting up like 21, 11, and 11, they could still be in the G League. But the guys who are like going 2 for 11 and not dominating, they should not be anywhere near the NBA.
Yeah.
100% of the time.
All right. So number 29 on my list, and he's number 30 because I have him behind one of the rookies, is Pat Mahomes. Now, where do you have Pat Mahomes?
Very few comps. I have Mahomes at 26.
That's pretty
just
high.
On, you know. Yeah, just on the upside, but I really don't know what to expect. Obviously, if I'm not ranking rookies, he's easily the hardest guy to rank here because he's got less experience than anybody, even A.J. McCarron.
Yeah, in limited time, he did not look great last year.
They seem to really like him for what that's worth.
Yeah, so this is the reason that I have him, frankly, at 29 and not lower, right? The reason I have him ahead of Josh Rosen and, you know, some of these other rookies is because Andy Reid, whatever else you think about him, has always been good at picking quarterbacks, has always been good at developing quarterbacks. Has always gotten the best out of every quarterback, whether it was McNabb, whether it was Alex Smith. And he made the decision to trade Alex Smith and take Pat Mahomes, which is almost sort of like the same when Jim Harbaugh made the decision to keep Kaepernick and get rid of Alex Smith, which at the time people thought was nuts, and it turned out, at least, you know, until Colin Kaepernick started exercising his First Amendment rights, was a good decision. So for that reason, I'm prone to give Andy Reid the benefit of the doubt, but we haven't seen anything from Patrick Mahomes yet. So if I, in week one, had to choose a quarterback to start for my team, I'd rather have, like, Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield, right, the consensus top quarterbacks in this year's draft. And I'd rather have any established veteran other than Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't see – I don't see how you can put him – I'd rather have Eli Manning than Patrick Mahomes. Hopefully that's not the case by the end of the year, but in week one.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
I got no strong Mahomes takes. Oh, who's your 27 or 28?
All right, so, 28 I have Darnold. 27 I have Ryan Tannehill.
All right, that's a bad take. It's a really bad take.
Why, where do you have him?
I have Tannehill at 21. 22.
What?
I have Tannehill at 22. But I actually think there's a big gap between him and some of the guys.
Okay.
First of all, now, a quarterback missing a season is not the same as some other positions where it would be a big deal to miss a season.
Well, it totally depends on it totally depends on what the reason that he missed the season.
Yeah, obviously if he's not healthy. But if he is as healthy now as, you know, 12 months ago pre-injury, he had two really good years in 2014. And 2015.
Okay, 2015, he was one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. What are you talking about?
No, he was fine.
2015? No. 2015, No, 2015, his CQB was 94. The only worst quarterback.
His Chester quarterback rating. He was good.
No, he was. He was one of the worst quarterbacks in football.
He was complete passes. His average attempt was really good. Touchdown interception ratio was really good. He was fine. He was a totally league average, slightly 18th best, whatever quarterback.
No, hold on. I'm opening up the 2015 quarterback rankings, okay?
These your quarterback rankings?
Let's get some opening up music, okay?
Are you trying to beat me with your own logic?
No. I'm going to cite all the common statistics, okay?
I mean, his last season, he completed 67% of
the
passes.
We're not talking about 2016. We're talking about 2015.
He had his career best year.
Hold on. In 2015, when his team went 6-10, first of all, he had...
First of all, he's got a really good offensive mind who was not there yet.
Okay. He had 25 touchdowns, 15 turnovers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
25-15, again, in today's NFL, that's not good, okay?
Yeah. He had his best career season with Adam Gase. Then he missed the season with Adam Gase. Now Gase is an established guy.
Okay.
In my opinion, a very good offensive coach. And I think he's going to have a really good year.
Okay.
I think Tannehill is... the new Jay Cutler on Jay Cutler's Best Day. Like, okay. So, if you have him, you're kind
of
stuck.
Look, you've always been high on him. You're the one who picked him to win the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, or go to it at least.
Yes, true.
In 2016, his quarterback rating was 101. So he was a slightly above average quarterback. He was below average in 2015.
The last time he played, he was slightly above average. I think that's a pretty good argument in his favor.
Okay, but that's 2 years ago.
And if he's not healthy, he's going to be a disaster.
Every single
slippage,
Every single person above him on this list has been an above-average quarterback in the last 2 years, except for Jameis and Eli, who are the two spots directly ahead of him. So if you want to say that he should be 25 instead of 27, fine. But there's not a single guy who hasn't been above average.
We'll talk about the other guys in a minute. But to me, there's still room for improvement. He is only 20. He just turned 30.
He lost his best receiver. Yeah, he's not even young anymore.
He's not young, but he has very little mileage.
Yeah.
He's only played 877 games.
Yeah. Okay.
Parts of 5 seasons.
Fine. So I have him at 27. I have Eli at 26. I have Jameis at 25.
Jameis. So I have Tyra 27.
Okay.
We already said Mahomes 26, and I also have Jameis 25. Jameis has 45 fumbles and INTs in the last 2 years.
Okay. Tyrod Taylor, the worst year of his career, which was his past year, is better than the best year of Tannehill's career. Tyrod Taylor has never been a below-average quarterback, has always put up the numbers. Now, the Bills fans say, oh, don't look at the numbers, like, watch the game tape. Like, I understand what his limitations are, but you have to take you have to appreciate his benefits, his advantages. Yeah, it's like
I think Tannehill's still getting better, and I think we've seen exactly what we're getting from Tyrod Taylor.
Okay, what we've seen from Tyrod Taylor is literally he never turns the ball over. He's the most secure quarterback in the NFL. He never turns the ball over. Okay, do you remember that comeback on, I think it was a Sunday night for the Bills against the Jets? We had, like, 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. Yeah, he has the ability to air the ball out a little bit. Again, Tyrod Taylor is not going to be a top 10 quarterback, but he's not going to be a bottom 10 quarterback either. So I have him at 20.
No, he's not going to be bottom 10.
Yeah, I have him at 22. And again, he's not going to be starting for long anyways. Jameis, though, let's talk about Jameis.
Again, I'm doing this by upside, and Tyrod's upside, in my opinion, is very limited. Okay. Jameis, like I said, 45 turnover. He's a turnover machine.
Where do you have him?
No sign that he's getting better. 25th.
Okay, 25, yeah. Jameis Winston has never been an average NFL quarterback.
No.
And it's crazy because we went into the season last year having to watch on Hard Knocks how they were talking about him as an MVP candidate.
Yeah.
He's also an asshole.
I think it's in him.
But that's another story.
He's a really bad guy.
Yeah.
This could really fall off. The wheels could fall off this year. If he has a bad year, I don't know what I do if I'm the Bucks.
Yeah.
He could be in another uniform next year.
Yeah.
Not even as a starter. And he's also one mistake away from basically being out of the league.
Yeah. So 25 is where I have him. 24, I have Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm. So I have Sam Bradford. Is Bradford in your rankings?
Yeah. We'll get to
it. So you haven't said him yet?
No. He's much higher.
Bradford is, I think, the Akiva and Chester of 30 years from now will look at Bradford and be like, wow, he was a really good player that no one ever appreciated. And they'll be right. I think.
Wait, so people are going to say that about us 30 years from now? Explain that to me.
No, they're going to say, oh my God, these guys suck. But
well, here's the thing about Bradford. When he's healthy, last year... In week one against New Orleans, he looked like the greatest quarterback of all time. And then he was basically out for the rest of the year, right?
Yeah, you could put him pretty much anywhere on a one-game basis.
Yeah.
The reason I have him 24 is you're starting to hear rumblings that the knees are just totally going.
They might be. In 2016, by the way, he set the NFL record for completion percentage. Now, it was all dump-offs, but he also had the worst offensive line in the league. He had the worst running game, I think, in the NFL since 1992 or something like that. And he stayed healthy. So
run the ball.
If he stays healthy, he's an above-average quarterback, and that's a massive if. And I have him at number 19, which I think is about fair because, you know, he'll be healthy for a couple games. He'll look really good. Then he'll get injured.
But if you're saying who would you rather have, staying healthy is a skill, you'd rather have any of these guys.
It's for a season or a game, I guess, is the question here. And is our ranking for a season or for a game?
All right. I did it for a season.
All right. So I have Blake Bortles at 24. Where do you have Blake Bortles?
I have him all the way up at 20, but I do think
that's
these guys are.
That's not a huge difference. Yeah, Blake Bortles.
Not a huge difference.
Let's look at his history. 2014. Well, hold on. 2014, he puts up that massive fantasy season. Not great, you know, tradition, but whatever. He was pretty good. He was
not
above
good
average.
In real life. Just
2015,
but
he was
really garbage time stats. Yeah.
2015, he was bad. 2016, he was really bad. And then last year, he had a big bounce back. You know, last year he was.
I mean,
I would say
league average quarterback last year.
Yeah, and in the playoffs, look what he did in Pittsburgh. Look what he did in New England. Like he looked really good in the playoffs.
Yeah, he looked very competent.
Yeah,
he improved so much from 17 to 16. The team now has some skill. Now we're not really ranking him on what the team has, but the team has a lot of wide receiver twos, and they have Fournette. I mean the 20th is not crazy. If you put him at 25, I'm not going to yell either. If there's still room for improvement, then something really cool could happen this year with Jacksonville. But I'm not. That may have been his career year. last year may have been Bortles' best year.
Well, that's not great for him because, again, he was like league average. Now, the guy I have one spot ahead of him, Andy Dalton, at 23.
Yeah, I have Dalton at 23, too.
Dalton has been about a league average quarterback the last couple of years. But in 2015, as we said, he probably wins the MVP if he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, I think he wins the MVP, but he's trending in just a disastrous direction on an old team.
Yeah, but the point is that, like, I think that Andy Dalton is the best-case scenario of Blake Bortles. And we've actually
crazy
seen
that Dalton's the same age as Bradford.
Yeah, but we've actually seen Dalton do it, and we haven't seen Bortles do it, which is why I have him one spot ahead. But again, there's
Dalton
not a huge difference.
Dalton played the whole year last year. He played the whole year last year. He completed under 60% of his passes, which is insane. And it was not because they were throwing deep, because he did not.
Yeah, I mean, his tight end was also injured. He didn't have a second receiver. You know, his running game was disastrous.
Yeah, no,
they
don't
have
a great team. But he had better. He honestly had better players than a lot of the guys we've mentioned so far. Is there a chance? I don't think he's ever going to bounce back to 2015, but there's definitely a chance he could bounce back to his 2016 numbers, which again have him as like the 17th best quarterback in the league, probably.
Hello?
Yeah.
I didn't hear
you
for the last
like
minute.
But I think I just finished on Dalton, so you could go on. I didn't say anything that needs real.
Okay. All right. So after Dalton, I have Tyra Taylor, 22, who you already said you had lower. Is there anybody you have 22 or below we haven't said yet?
No, everyone, we both have the same top 21.
Okay, all right, 21, and this is the one where I think there can be some controversy. I have Jared Goff.
I've Goff at 18,
okay,
that's fine. I have Case Keenum 21. Where do you have Case
Keenum? I have Case Keenum 18, that's fine. And these are both similar guys in different ways in that before last season, they had never been a good NFL quarterback, and last season they were both Pro Bowlers. And in both cases, the question is validly asked, was it them or was it the team and the surroundings that they had?
Yeah, we're going
to
find out.
Now, Jared Goff, Jared Goff has the same surroundings this year. In fact, he's added a better receiver to his core.
Keenum isn't even Foles, right? Foles had like an iconic season.
For Philly, you're saying. Keenum had the iconic season last year. That was his iconic season.
Yeah, but that could have been completely system-based, and I think we're going
to
find out.
Well, we'll find out pretty quickly.
In week 8, Keenum might go from 21 to 31 on this list.
It's entirely possible.
Like Keenum's basement.
He's a career backup coming into last season, and he was a third stringer last season for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, it could get ugly for Keenum.
Yeah, so that's fine. So Jared Goff, the reason I have him 21 is because even though he was really good, and he was really, really good last year, like if he puts up another 10 years like he did in last season, he'll be a Hall of Famer. The reason I have him only at 21 is because, again, we've seen one great year from a lot of guys in this area, whether it's Andy Dalton, whether it's Case Keenum, and also because he was so historically bad as a rookie. He just strikes me as like really, really incredibly dumb from like when he was on Hard Knocks as a rookie, and it's hard for me to get over that from a quarterback.
I think we put too much credit into Hard Knocks. We got the Browns on Hard Knocks starting next week. We're gonna have them in the Super Bowl by week 2.
Yeah. So I have Jared Goff 21.
No, the problem to me with Goff, I'm such a big McVay guy that I think any guy in the league would have put up the numbers Goff did last year.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Like
that's why we do this in the preseason, then we do it in midseason. We have a chance to readjust.
He's still really young. He's 23. I mean, there's rookies coming in and everything.
All right, number 20, I have Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, I'm much higher on Jimmy. I have Jimmy at 15. I think Jimmy's ceiling is just insanely higher than some of these guys we've seen.
So Jimmy Garoppolo's ceiling is higher than Jared Goff, the number one overall pick in the NFL draft, who in his second season was a top 10 quarterback.
So if we were an NFL franchise and you and I were the co-GMs, and we had there was a draft and we had to choose between Jimmy Garoppolo or Jared Goff, I think we choose Jimmy Garoppolo.
Well, I have him one spot ahead of Goff.
We definitely debated.
But what I'm saying is,
I think
higher.
I think we pick Garoppolo, especially for a season, because now you could argue, well, Goff is more experienced, so Garoppolo might.
I mean, Goff's resume, again, there has to be a reason he was the number one overall pick. There has to be a reason that he played as well as he did last year. Garoppolo played well in 6 games, but people are getting a little ahead of themselves with that 7-5 touchdown interception ratio. I think in what was effectively all garbage time.
I still think his ceiling is the moon compared to Goff.
All right, well, I'm not doing this on ceiling.
If you put Garoppolo with McVay, he would be the MVP this year. I have no doubt of that.
Okay. Well, I have him on where they are right now. Number 19, I have Sam Bradford. I already said game versus season, you know, health of his knees, etc. Number 18, I have Case Keenum. I already said anybody that you have above 18 that we haven't mentioned?
Yeah, I have Carr at 19. Where do you have Carr?
Okay, I have Derek Carr at 14. Wow, so we've really flipped on all these guys. Eli and Carr. Well, I mean, again, like Derek Carr was, again, he was a Pro Bowler in 2016 when his team went 12-4. Last year,
I'm a little nervous.
He really struggled, but he was still an average quarterback. Literally, his CQBR plus was 100.1. So he was literally an average quarterback last year.
You think this year Carr is better quarterback than Garoppolo and Goff?
I'm not sure. I think that he has a longer tracker.
I'm not sure either.
He's been at least an average quarterback for three seasons, right? He has not ever been a terribly below average quarterback. He has sort of the resume that Goff has that Garoppolo did not really have. You know, Garoppolo wasn't like, you know, a top 10 pick. There's not a huge difference between these guys.
He was also really bad in December. Like, he sort of fell apart last year.
Yeah. I mean, I don't judge honestly. Notwithstanding the fact that I used to cite these numbers for Teddy Bridgewater all the time because he was really good in December, I don't care if you're better in December than in September. You need to win all the games. You don't get bonus points.
No, I understand, but like, what's wrong? Yeah. Like, is something wrong? I'm not saying that.
Well, there was a lot wrong with that team. December's, I mean, they got a new coach. They got a new. Well, I, you know, now I have no idea what to expect from Gruden.
The new coach is a moron, though.
Yeah, their new coach could be a complete moron, and it could be a complete disaster. And Derek Carr.
I mean, he might be a moron, and they might be good this year. Like, it could be a disastrous coaching hire that still starts well. Just a lot of times, coaching hires.
I don't
know. You
know, so that's fine. So I have him at 14. You have him at 19. You said.
Yeah, I don't have such strong feelings.
Okay.
About
18. You have Goff. You said 17. I have Marcus Mariota.
Where do I have Mariota?
Where do you have Marcus Mariota?
17.
Oh, okay. So we're exactly the same on him.
I think he's slightly overrated as a runner, especially if you want him to really be your long-term quarterback, you basically have to make him stop running soon. He actually didn't fumble last season as a QB.
Yeah.
He fumbled running once or twice.
Yeah, but so he was really, okay, he was really, really good in his sophomore season. And last year, he was not good. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. Like, he got significantly worse from year two to year three. Why is that?
Yeah, it's same thing with Jameis where it stagnated, partially because their coach was an embarrassment. But he's gone 9-7 2 years in a row without, you know.
But Jameis, to be fair, has been consistently mediocre. Mariota went from mediocre to really good back to mediocre. So that's what worries me a little.
Yeah. I mean, I like Mariota here. It would be a really tough decision if you said, who would you rather have for this year, Mariota or Goff? That's a tough call, honestly.
All right. Yeah, these guys are all set. Now, number 16, I have probably one of the like biggest variance guys on this list, Deshaun Watson.
See, I have the other big variance guy. I have Luck at 16.
Oh, I have Luck at 15.
And I have Watson at 14.
Okay, so we have these guys in the same place.
Luck ceiling is 4, right? Luck ceiling is better than Russell Wilson or Matt Ryan.
Luck continues to be one of the most overrated players in football. He had, you know,
I agree, but I still think his ceiling is incredibly high.
Yeah,
Luck's best days are as good as anyone's best.
But he's also Sam Bradford. We don't know if he can throw the ball at all. Like, they celebrate when he throws a mini football around.
Yeah, no. If he's injured, then who cares?
But he played a full season in 2015 and was a bottom three quarterback that year.
Yeah, no, it's complicated. That's why I have him stacking in the middle.
Okay, no, we have him in the same place.
If you want to put him 32, I don't even.
Okay, now Watson only, you know, played even fewer games than Garoppolo, frankly, right?
Yeah.
But here's the thing. That team was literally the worst team, like had the worst quarterback situation in football, had the worst offense in football, and he took over, and immediately they had the best offense in football. Immediately. Mm-hmm. Now, again, we had the whole conversations last year about what was the coaching staff thinking and how can you decide through a whole, you know, training camp and preseason that, you know, that Watson can't have the, you know, get the job and then a quarter into the regular season. Yeah, and then you immediately switch. We just, forgetting about all that, he has the job. His CQBR last year was 120, which was second only to Drew Brees. Excuse me, third, Drew Brees and Alex Smith. He was really, 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 really good in limited play. So it's a bit of a risk. He's not going to be 16 by midseason. I think he'll either be like 6 or he'll be like 22 probably, right?
I don't think he'll be 22. I will say that a lot of what they did was unsustainable. Like, there's never been a guy who just basically throws a bomb in every single play.
I mean, yeah, there is. Randall Cunningham in 1998. Now he had Randy Moss.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Basically Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, or Tom Brady in 2007 also. But again, he had Randy Moss, so.
So if I'm being a little hypocritical, because Deshaun Watson's ceiling is like number one in the entire league. Like, if Deshaun Watson can improve on what he was doing last year, like the Texans
win
the Super Bowl. Basically. Yeah, like, it was absurd, but so absurd. First of all, he threw 8 interceptions and 200 passes. Yeah, so that's not great.
And can we talk about that AFC South for a second? I mean, we're going to get to our team previews and our season preview, you know, in the next week or two.
Yeah, I don't want
to
waste too much.
But
here,
it's just the variance you have. With Indy, you know, with the Colts, with Andrew Luck, with the Texans,
well,
with
the Jaguars
Watson.
Are a no variance team because they don't rely on anybody basically.
Well, but the Jaguars are a team. I mean, you know, Bill Barnwell just talked about them. They went to the AFC Championship, probably could have won it, and they are probably going to be much better this year. They had bad luck last year.
Yeah, no, I agree. They're not a high variance team.
This has been a division that they are because you know Bortles could be the worst quarterback in the league again. This has been a division that has been a comical joke for years and years. You know, the Jacksonville Titans game was always a must view on a must Thursday night schedule. All of a sudden. You know, and we haven't even discussed Tennessee, who went 9-7 last year. Like, this could be a really good division.
Oh, I mean, you're not going to get any disagreements.
All right, okay.
I mean, you got Watson, Mariota, and Luck.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Number 14, I have Derek Carr. We already discussed. Number 13, who do you have?
Kirk Cousins.
Okay. I have him at 9. That's fine. You know, he had his worst season last year. He was still 5% better than the average quarterback. But, you know,
I think we're about to overrate him a lot. I think he's going.
Preseason right now, he's been dramatically underrated by everybody, I think.
No, what I'm saying is week 6, they're going to be 5-1 because their team is incredible. And people are going to be like, oh, Kirk Cousins is amazing. We're really like Cousins has sort of been. He had a great situation when McVay was his coordinator, and now he's in the situation of like a super team, basically. And I think the truth is that Kirk Cousins is just like a very slightly above average quarterback.
Okay, so hold on. This is not a Viking.
Going to be like in the MVP talk.
This is not a Vikings preview podcast yet. But open up the Vikings schedule for a second, because you said they're going to start 5-1. Okay.
No, let's not even open up. I don't want to open them schedules.
No, but I'm just pointing out if they start 5-1, then he is the MVP because in the first 6 weeks they're playing at Green Bay, at the Rams, at the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
They have a.
But you get my point, like.
No, but I don't get. They're going to start 2-3 this team, and people are going to say, "Oh, it was a fluke last year," and then they're going to end up, 11-5 or whatever. I think their schedule's really, really tough to start the season. Look, the question with him, and it's sort of the same with Goff, and not with Sean McVay, of course, but also with Keenum. Like, how much is it a coach and a system? Because Kirk Cousins, like, let's be honest, he has gotten worse 3 years in a row. And he's not even like in his 30s, so it's not that he's getting old.
Yeah.
Now, the big difference is that he lost McVay, but the other big difference is his entire team was injured. He didn't have any receivers at all last year.
Right.
He's getting into a better system, so his numbers should go up, and I think you're saying that because his numbers are going to improve, he's going to become overrated.
Diggs, Thielen, Randolph, Cook. I mean, it's a pretty good situation to go into.
My argument is that he's already underrated, so I think that he will go from underrated to properly rated. I think I have.
Right, but this is like a very stupid pill.
Okay, fine. To me, he's very similar to like Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers. He's that kind of a guy.
Okay.
He's slightly
Number 12.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's slightly above average.
Number 12.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We'll get this right by episode 5,000.
Yeah.
Number 12. I have Dak. You probably have Dak a little bit higher. I have no problem with that. I don't know if Dak's ceiling is through the moon. I'm obviously nervous that he got much worse year two than
I have him at 8, season. So it's not that much higher. But let me just reiterate, as I said on last week's podcast when we made fun of Sean, his rookie season was the best rookie season in the NFL probably ever.
Yeah.
At least since Otto Graham.
Like, just forget about his rookie season.
Okay, hold on. But he was better as a rookie than Deshaun Watson was. He was better as a rookie than Jared Goff was as a second year, than Jimmy Garoppolo was last year. Like, his rookie season was better than all of those. And by the way, last year, our memories are that he sucked. The first 6-7 weeks, he was really good. He struggled a lot in the middle of the season when, by the way, their all-pro left tackle was out and their all-pro running back was out. For the season, he was still his CQBR plus was 106.4. He was still a well above average quarterback. He was better for the season than Kirk Cousins. He was better for the season than Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously way better than Jameis and Eli and, guys like that. So he wasn't...
And I will say he's, for whatever reason, he's insanely underrated as a runner. Like, he has 6 rushing touchdowns both seasons. He ran for 6.3 yards per carry last year and over 50 carries without a fumble. I mean, he
doesn't turn the ball over very much. He doesn't throw a lot of interceptions.
Here's the problem. He has the reverse Cousins issue. He might be great this year, and that team has no talent other than Zeke.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell did a ranking of every team's like receivers, tight ends, like sort of like skill position guys who quarterbacks are throwing to.
Yeah,
and I think that he had the Cowboys 31 or 32, and Cowboys fans were really pissed about
The Jets were 32, I think.
Yeah, okay. And Jets fans were not pissed about that at all.
No, it's reasonable.
Yeah. So Dak does not have a lot of weapons, and so he's almost in like a Russell Wilson situation. Like, let's see you do it with no help.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So you haven't said Alex Smith yet. I'm a bit surprised. We've like flipped our roles on all these guys.
Well, I have Cam at 11 and Alex Smith at 10.
Okay. I have Alex Smith at 13. So not a huge difference. I mean,
I agree. I flipped because I was looking at all of his metrics today.
So hold on. I just want
to. He hasn't had a 10 interception season this decade.
Hold on. I need to ask you
That's
a question.
That's insane.
You think because no one else in America thinks this. You think that the Redskins made the right decision by going from Kirk Cousins to Alex Smith. You think they improved the quarterback?
Well, I don't like getting older ever.
Yeah.
Especially in the NFL.
Yeah.
But for 1 year, could Cousins have done all the things that Smith did on the Chiefs?
Smith's floor is lower because Smith has the highest floor of any quarterback in the league, probably, right?
Right, basically.
But his ceiling is much, much lower.
Yeah.
Even last year,
these guys are all the same.
Even last year, when by stats, like, you know, the Chester stat, you know, Alex Smith was arguably the best quarterback in the NFL. Even last year, he still, nobody would have said he was a top five quarterback, even when he was literally the best quarterback.
Yeah.
You know what? Right. Yeah, he doesn't throw the ball down the field. He doesn't turn the ball over. Cam, I have at number 12. I'm surprised we're both so high on Cam. Like, Cam was a superstar 3 years ago by now.
I'll tell you what I think I'm giving him a pass on, and then you are. He didn't have a team last year. I mean, Benjamin doesn't work out. They trade him.
Yeah.
He had no receivers.
And who does he have this year?
I mean, listen, but that's not his fault. It's his problem, but it's not his fault.
But in 2015, he had nobody. Benjamin was out the whole year, and he had
the running,
40
which
touchdowns.
I think will eventually slow down, hasn't, partially because we've never seen someone who physically like Vic broke down in terms of being able to run.
He was smaller. Yeah.
You know,
no, Culpepper was like Cam Newton size, but he wasn't as, you know, he didn't have the maneuverability.
He was never as dynamic, obviously, running.
Yeah.
But listen, complete 60% of your passes, Cam.
The problem. Like, he's not accurate, and also like it's been 3 years since he's been an average NFL quarterback. So I think we're giving him a little bit benefit of the doubt. I have him at 12. You have him at 11. I mean, it's a little bit favorable.
We have the same top nine.
I don't know. Well, I'm not even up to there. I still have Philip Rivers at 11, Matthew Stafford at 10.
Oh no. Okay.
I have Kirk Cousins at 9. All right, so.
I think we're really underrating Stafford. I have Stafford at 7 and Rivers at 9.
All right. Stafford is coming off his probably the best season of his career, okay?
Yeah.
And it was significantly worse.
By the way, 7 straight seasons where he's played every game.
Okay.
Incredible for a guy.
That has value. That's the value that Eli's always brought. Stafford has always been, to me, solidly about the 10th best quarterback in the league. But Stafford's best season of his career is significantly worse, like almost an entire standard deviation worse than Kirk Cousins was, you know, under Sean McVay a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Do you know who Stafford is to me? Stafford is like Steven Strasburg. Like, his numbers are basically the exact same every single year, and he's never the Cy Young, but he's always like a B++.
Yeah. I don't like that analogy, because Strasburg in theory has the potential.
Oh, because you don't follow baseball.
No, because Strasburg in theory has the potential to be a Cy Young. And Stafford will never be a top five quarterback. Like, I'm a Vikings fan. I see Stafford all the time. I would rather on my team have Cousins than Stafford, just because I think that
Stafford. I don't agree.
I mean, look, I have him 9 and 10.
Stafford feels like he's been around forever. He's the same age as all those guys we were talking about before.
Yeah. Again, like,
he's 30.
Look at his numbers compared to Kirk Cousins in 2015 and 2016.
He's gonna have, like,
and he had Calvin Johnson back then still. He has Golden Tate, who's a very, like,
if Stafford has longevity, he's going to own like every NFL record.
Yeah, it's exactly like Eli. If you play 16 games a year for your whole career.
Eli doesn't have any NFL records. Stafford is going to have, and Stafford basically.
Yeah, but Eli's going to finish in the top five in yards, in touchdowns, and everything.
And you better do it in the first 6 weeks this year.
Why? What does that mean?
I don't know. Predicting injury? I have no idea. His numbers are almost identical the last 5 seasons.
All right, now where do you have Philip Rivers?
But last year, he basically decided to bomb it out. I have Rivers at 9.
So you're really buying in. I mean, do you remember 2 years ago everybody said Philip Rivers was done?
Yeah, I don't think so. I thought he was
done.
But he
was a below-average quarterback year after year after year. He'd be good in September, then he'd fall apart. Last year, he bounced back. He had his best season in a long time. But he's also getting old.
Partially because they have some competent players around him now.
Yeah, but they've always had competent players around him.
Yeah, but they were able to stay healthy on offense last year.
Yeah, well, Keenan Allen never stays healthy, but yeah. I mean, look, we have these guys all about the same. Yeah, to me, Stafford, Rivers, Cousins are all sort of the same thing to me. They're all like the 10th best quarterback, so.
I just think that's a little too nice for like putting Cousins in Stafford and Rivers, who've done it a zillion times, versus Cousins, who's done it like twice.
Stafford has never had a season remotely close to what Cousins did in 2016 and 2015. Okay, Philip Rivers has had much better seasons, but it was in 2008, like literally a decade ago by now.
All right, who else? Who are we up to?
All right, 10, so number eight, I have Dak. So I think we both have the same top seven. Is that correct?
I think so. By the way, we might have the same top seven in order.
Okay.
We might be done.
All right, we're going to say 7 on the count of 3.
No, I have Stafford at 7, so we don't have this. No, I have Stafford at 7.
So then who do you have at 8?
Wentz.
Oh, okay. I have Wentz at 6.
You know, I'm demoting Wentz because I don't know how healthy he is. And it seems like the rushing.
But that doesn't count for Tannehill for you for some reason? He's 100% back in your opinion?
Yeah, Tannehill got injured 12 months ago, not like 7 months.
I will point out that Carson Wentz
already missed his time.
Carson Wentz got a lot of credit as a rookie basically for not being Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. But he was not great as a rookie. Now, we played all 16 games. You know,
not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, people were just relieved that he was, like, average.
Yeah, well, but he wasn't average. Again, I have a CQBR from of 87 that year. So he was one of the worst.
For a rookie quarterback.
Yeah. And then last year, he was really good. But his advanced numbers did not look as good as sort of his peripheral numbers, because he was on, like, the best team in football. his numbers were not, were basically the same as, you know, Case Keenum and actually as Jared Goff. So I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves by putting him all the way up at six.
Yeah, no, I think if you're completing 60% of your passes, which is what Wentz did last year, then his numbers weren't sustainable.
60% like yards a pass, like, and the required margin in today's NFL as a minimum.
And by the way, in only 13 games, it's completely it's unsustainable. Now he could get better, and he could complete 68% of his passes, and he could, they could air him out. He could be number four in October. Like, if he's healthy and he's playing well, like, he could easily move up some of the old guys on this list.
Again, it's the same as Andy Dalton in 2015. He was quite likely going to be, if not win the MVP, you know, be in the top three before he got injured. So, yeah, that's fine. I have him at six.
Now, all redheads are the same to you. That's why you're saying that he's the
same as Andy. All right, so I have Roethlisberger at seven.
And I have Roethlisberger at six.
All right, so that's fine. Roethlisberger, I need to point out, he's getting old, but he has gotten better every single year of the last 4 years.
So I'm torn because we saw last week the coaches and GMs had Roethlisberger at four on that list, I think, right?
Yeah, but they've had him too high forever.
I know, but
he's finally starting to justify it with the numbers.
Destroyed? Yes, he is. Roethlisberger destroyed a Jaguars defense that Brady could not figure out. I mean, look at his numbers. They were cartoon video game numbers.
Okay, but that's one game.
On his best day.
Bortles did it's one game. Come on.
No, yeah, but he did it against the best defense in the NFL, not what Bortles did.
I don't know if Jacksonville's defense is better than the Vikings.
Ceiling is so high. The problem is I don't think he could make it through 16 games anymore.
Well, but look, he's done it. He's done it all very soon. When's the last time he played fewer than like 14 games in a season? It's been a while.
Yeah, but
he's been remarkably healthy.
I just have a bad feeling about this.
All right, well then you're gonna have a bad feeling about the guys ahead of him because three of them are either very old or injury prone. So,
oh, true. I mean, they're definitely old.
All right, so we have the top five, and I'm very confident we have them in the exact same order. So we're gonna say,
oh, no question.
On the count of three, we're both gonna say number five. You ready?
Okay.
One, two,
okay. Yeah.
Three. Matt Ryan.
Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going
to
be the same.
We failed to do that, but okay. I'm surprised I had him this high. I've always said Matt Ryan was in the Matthew Stafford, Kirk Cousins, Philip Rivers category of like, around the 10th best quarterback. Then he was the best quarterback in the league in 2016. He took a big step back in 2017. But and again, remember, 2015, he was a below average quarterback. He was like 23rd or something. He had a really
good season. So you've been anti-Ryan. Why do you have him so high?
He's safer. He's safe. Well, he was bad 3 years ago, but he's safer than these guys. He doesn't get injured, so he has sort of the advantage of like a Matt Stafford.
And but if he was the 16th best quarterback this season, you would not bat an eye.
No, I would not bat an eye.
We could basically flip the Luck, Garoppolo, Watson, Cousins, Prescott, Newton, like that's 16 to 11. To the 5 to 16, we could literally flip it this year, even going down to Mariota.
Well, listen, we're doing this in July, and football doesn't start until September. So,
100%. I'm just saying, like, these guys are so similar. Yeah. And I think there's a lot more talent than the last time we did this. I think the league is pretty stacked because we haven't even talked about the rookies.
Yeah.
Some of them are probably going to be good.
Yeah. All right.
So number four, say at the same time.
Russell Wilson.
Ciara's husband. Okay.
Wait, now, he is tough to judge. His numbers, at least in the last two seasons, have not been there compared to a lot of these guys. His numbers have not even been top 10. But we know that he has less weapons than anybody. He has no running game. He has no offensive line.
Yeah.
And he does everything by himself.
He's the test to how much you know about football. Like, if you have a list and you have Russell Wilson 12th, either you're like in the KKK, or you just don't.
It's called a Tuesday morning quarterback now, isn't it? Oh wait, what's it called? Monday morning quarterback. I completely screwed up that joke.
Do they keep the name?
The Peter King website. I don't even know. All right, swing and a miss.
Yeah.
We'll edit that one out. All right.
But it's funny because like we made fun of them, but like what would make you go to Sports Illustrated's website now? Like at least Peter King, the column sometimes would be interesting. Why would you go to that?
All right. Okay. So there's nothing even to really say about these top four guys because they've been the same for so long, right?
In a couple years. Yeah. Yeah.
Drew Brees.
Brees 3, Rodgers 2, Brady.
Well, hold on. So Brees is another guy like Roethlisberger that, incredibly enough, has gotten better each of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, with Brees, I think it's pretty clear that the weapons around him have gotten a lot better. But
What do you think about the weapons around him? I mean, we'll talk. Let's save it for the Saints podcast.
All right. Okay. So, so Brees.
People are so high on the Saints right now.
Yeah. So that's Brees.
They're
number two. Number two, Rodgers. Now,
the problem with Rodgers
is that he's only had one good season in the last three, honestly.
He can't stay healthy.
And B, he's been really mediocre. He's been, by his standards, he's been mediocre two of the last 3 years. He was not great last year, even before he got injured. He was good, but he wasn't great. For one game, for one drive, I'd rather have Rodgers than any quarterback on earth, for sure.
Let me ask you a question.
But over the course of a season?
Yes or no question.
Hold on.
When I ask you a question, yes or no, is Alex Smith old? Yes or no?
Yes.
Is Alex Smith old?
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers is, I think, older than Alex Smith. They're the same age.
They're both 34, aren't they? 33?
Yeah. No, but Aaron Rodgers, this is his age 35 season.
Yeah. Oh, 35. Okay.
Sneaking up.
Let me ask you a yes or no question. Yes or no?
Yeah.
For now through February, for the entire season, and you do not get a backup quarterback. Your team has one quarterback on their team.
Okay. So he gets injured, your season's over.
Okay. You would rather have Aaron Rodgers or Matthew Stafford?
Aaron Rodgers, because if he's healthy, win the Super Bowl.
Aaron Rodgers or Matt Ryan?
Aaron Rodgers.
Okay. It's honestly...
That's why he's number two.
Yeah, I guess so. It's just, there's a little bit of risk involved there.
If I was a coach whose only job was to coach next year, you know, one of these guys who's just coaching year to year, because I need to get paid, I understand why you'd want Matt Ryan. Stafford is a bridge too far. But I'd understand why you'd want like an absolute solid guy if the rest of your team is good.
I don't know. If we remove the 2016 season from Matt Ryan, he's no better than Matthew Stafford. So,
okay. So then
now again, he has that season. Look, he has that season in his belt. So, Tom Brady number one. It's crazy. He's 42 years old. He's probably on steroids.
Smith is younger than Aaron Rodgers. I think if we just asked people that.
Well, I mean, they were in the same draft. Everybody knows they were in the same draft. So I think people would assume they're the same age.
But right, our feeling now is that Alex Smith is on his last leg, and ha ha ha! Why the Redskins acquire Alex Smith? He's old.
Well, no, it's ha 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 because the Redskins had a top ten. It's because they had a top ten quarterback who they underappreciated year after year after year, and they chased them out of town.
Okay, fair. If they had picked Rodgers, not one person would have mentioned his age in the world. They would have been like, "Oh my God, that's an amazing."
I mean, people are talking about that for the Packers. I mean, look, the Packers are just there is a significant injury risk there. Like Rodgers, every other season misses half the season. It's a problem. And he's in a division where, there's been years where he did that and came back in December and they still went 9-7 and like snuck into the playoffs. Like, the Vikings are not going to win fewer than 9 games, I don't think. So Rodgers has to stay healthy for this team to certainly to win the division, but even to compete for a wild card spot because the NFC is stacked.
Yeah. Right? I mean, the Chargers had like, if you follow anyone like Chargers beat writer or any Chargers fan on Twitter, like every single day at practice, they lose like a major player to injury during practice. It's insane.
Yeah, but it's like second string tight ends and stuff.
20-year-long tradition.
It's like
no. It's like starting cornerbacks usually.
Okay, yeah.
There has to be some crazy study done that they have like.
You can take the Chargers out of San Diego, but I guess you can't take the San Diego out of the Chargers. Does that make any sense? No.
Yeah. All right, are we good? Anything else to talk about?
No, listen, we'll revisit these. We'll post these in the group for those who are more visual learners than audio ones like
me. Or people who don't listen to the podcast but just want to know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
We'll post a video of Adira's gymnastics show. Give me your honest feedback. You don't see the other kids, so just assume that they were much, much worse if you're underwhelmed by her performance.
So how old is she? She's 9, you said?
She's 9. The other kids are like 12 or 13 mostly.
Her last two flips got an audible gasp for me.
Yeah. Her last two flips are really good. I mean, they're the only two flips, but the only two flips people did.
Yeah, I don't know what kids that age are supposed to be doing, but it's like she probably should have won something.
Yeah, it's like I feel like I'm insane. Like she's so she shouldn't be in school. She should be like doing this 5 hours a day and trying to get. Yeah, good.
I'm glad we came back to this because in the top of the podcast, people were saying, I hope they talk about more.
We have four kids. Well, you could like use a kid to like be a sports star.
Yeah.
And I think my youngest is going to be a superstar. Like, he can kick the ball off the ground, and he's won.
I mean, none of these kids, where are these genes coming from? Because it's obviously not from you.
My wife, Harold, people ask this. Like, my wife was like a 100th percentile athlete, especially for a 5'3" woman.
Yeah.
Like, she is, she's still now, like, a really good athlete.
And how did she end up with you?
would you think, like, people who are the captain of their high school basketball team should only marry, like, movie stars? I don't know.
So there's this hard left concept that like the rich should have to marry the poor, or like racists should have to marry each other to sort of make everybody even. So I guess you're the sports equivalent of that.
I think you made that up.
No, so you're the sports equivalent of that.
Yeah, I think a good athlete.
Yeah, you don't want good athletes to marry good athletes.
Serena Williams believes in that. She married a nerd from Reddit. I think he's tall though. But like, I agree. Like, if you have two people like Yao Ming's parents were each like basically. Chinese basketball stars who were, basically intentionally had a gigantic kid.
Intentionally had a gigantic kid. That was all strategy.
I think that was it was like a Chinese sort of experiment.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. We're going to get in trouble here. Let me just come back to how I started the podcast last week. I got an incredible amount of feedback from that. I was really uncertain about whether I should have done that, discussed what I discussed. in hindsight,
did you tell your wife you posted it?
I told my wife, yes. I told her.
Did she listen to it?
No, she didn't. My wife doesn't listen to me in person.
To trick her into the podcast. Yeah. I know.
How does it help my life to have my wife listen to this podcast?
Oh, no, it could only hurt. Yeah. It could only hurt. It would probably help me because she'd be like, oh, I don't know why I hit Akiva. It's so funny. And he makes my husband seem so dumb.
Maybe. Yeah, so I got a lot of feedback from a lot of people who shared similar and other things. And so I'm glad that to the extent that I did that. Again, it was something that I was really unsure about. I was like 50-50. And then after I posted it, I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe I posted this. Should I go and delete it? I'm definitely happy I did. The one thing addendum I want to make to that is I sort of made it sound like, you know, 5 years ago I was totally cured and now I'm all better. And I don't think, you know, although on a day-to-day basis it feels that way, I think that's a little bit hubristic to say. It's probably more accurate to say that, you know, it's something that's in remission.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I should use that word because I don't know if that's medically accurate. I'm not a doctor.
Right, obviously. But
yeah, but it's probably the kind of thing, yeah, that you always need to be active about. And I probably should. I mean, I definitely should have had better mental health treatment in the previous, you know, 2 decades of my life, and I didn't. And hopefully, I will be proactive enough to the extent it's necessary, have that going forward. But that's what I would recommend to everybody: speak to therapists and take lots of drugs. Supervised ones.
All right, so the next time people hear us, we will be doing one of the 32 fans in 32. We don't know if we're going to hit all 32 like we have the last 3 years, minus I think 1 year we only did 31. But yeah, next time we hear us, we're going to be talking to a fan of a team.
Yeah, we're going to have a different intro song. We're going to have a different name of the
podcast.
Is that
true? We have a different intro song?
Yeah, we go back to the earlier one for 32 fans in 32 days.
Oh, what's the intro song?
Well, you'll have to listen to this podcast.
I forget. It's amazing.
It's been 11 months. All right, Keith. Talk to you later. Bye. Whatever happens, whatever happens.